We come today, and Lord, as we look at your word, Lord, we want, Lord, your word to impact our lives. Lord, we don't just gather together and say we went to church, but God, we want to have an encounter with you, Lord. Lord, my heart today, Lord, I believe your heart today is to strengthen the fathers in this house, Lord, to keep living life for you, to keep doing what you've called them to do to raise a godly generation. Lord, I pray you'll give them the fuel they need in their tank today, Lord, to continue on, and Lord, just be godly and good for you, in Jesus' name, amen. So today we're honoring the fathers, and it's awesome. We're so happy. And I'm a dad, so I get honored later on. It's going to be great. Everybody's going to be quiet. I'm going to do an eyelid inspection, make sure my eyelids don't leak, and it's going to be good. So I want to thank you, first of all, for your generosity. I know, things can be tight for people, and just that you gave this morning and trust God, and I'm thankful for that. Just want to say thanks to you for your generosity every week, but just especially on this day. It's an important day, and I think like a lot of times Josh kind of said already, but kind of gets minimized in our culture a bit, Father's Day. We have Mother's Day, right? You can't get a seat in a restaurant on Mother's Day, like it's just crowded. But Father's Day, like you could shoot a cannon through most places, and you know, and it's not as big a deal, right? Like it's the biggest day for cards is Mother's Day, Father's Day not so much. So like fathers a lot of times are minimized in our culture, but you know, I've celebrated a lot of Father's Day. I'm 54 years old, so we've celebrated quite a few, and never really understood the significance of a father until I lost my dad. Sometimes you don't know what you got till it's gone. You know, they paved paradise and put up a parking lot, right? So, like, it's like the truth is, sometimes you don't realize what you have. So, like, when I think about my dad, and, like, last year we lost Nick, so it's my second time losing a dad. I went hard shopping with Christine for her dad yesterday, and I was like, oh, you know, this is different. I probably won't do this again. You know, but it's so what I realize I miss is that wisdom that comes from your father. Like sometimes you, when he's alive, you kind of think, well, you know, he doesn't know that much, right? But then when you get older and you're going through something in life or you're working hard and you want to just find out what he thinks, he's not there anymore. So fathers are so important. Like fathers are important to just help you just, you know, level out. I don't know if you've ever felt frantic as a man, like kind of like you're trying hard, but nothing seems to work. But you can go to your dad and he can say, you know what, been there, done that, been through that. It's going to be okay. Don't worry about it, right? And I think that, you know, fathers are just a blessing. So anyway, a lot of times on Mother's Day, everybody gets up and talks about, you know, how good moms are and, you know, bless your mom and God help moms and they're wonderful. And then Father's Day, preacher gets up and says, well, shape up, dads. You could do better, right? I've probably done that a few times. Well, today I'm not going to do that. Today I want to show some honor to you guys because I think it's a challenging time to be a dad. So today I want to talk to dads and about, you know, just being strong and being who God's called you to be. It says in Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 3, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So why do we honor our dads? The scripture here says to honor your dad, but so why? Well, the first reason we honor our dads is because it is a command of scripture. If we're believers, right, scripture is our ultimate authority. It's where we get our way of living from. Like, we can't call ourselves believers and then just live however we want. We have to take the word of God as truth, and we have to live it out with our heart and in our actions. So the idea of honoring your father and your mother is important to God. And he showed that by tacking on a huge reward for showing them honor. What does it say in the scripture here? It says that honor your father and your mother, and your days will be long, and it'll go well with you. So how many of you would like it to go well with you? How many of you would like it to your days to be long? Yeah, it's good. So God promised us this. These are the great promises he gives us when we show honor. So I have to say that for me, showing honor to my parents wasn't really hard because they modeled it in front of us. Like I lost my grandmother on my dad's side when I was really young. His dad was dead when he was 2, so I never knew him. But my mom and dad would drag us over there all the time, like probably a couple times a week to visit her. And they took care of her and they helped her in every way they could. And my mom's parents, when they, you know, got older, they moved in the house with us and we took care of them really until my grandfather died. And then my grandmother went into a shallow manor down there and they took care of her there. And they really, you know, cared about her and looked after her. So honor wasn't a hard thing for me to show. It was modeled very clearly to me as a child growing up. But here's the thing about that, you know, about honor. The Bible says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long and they'll may go well with you. There is no qualifiers in the verse. It doesn't say, well, honor your dad if your dad is perfect. Anybody here have a perfect father? Right. No liars in the house this morning. We all want what we want for ourselves, but the qualifier is not there. That if you have a perfect dad, you show him honor. If your dad always does what you want, you show him honor. The scripture says honor your father. A lot of times, people have been through really hard things, but I believe this with all my heart. Even if your father has not been honorable and you show honor to the father, your father, it's still the promise is there for you that you'll live long and it'll go well for you. So be honoring. The second thing I want to talk about is honoring your father meets the deepest needs, his deepest needs, and gives him the fuel to do well. If you've been at Frank and Marlene's small group, Love and Respect, one of the deepest needs of a man is to be honored, to be respected. And so a lot of times, you know, in our culture, it's not that way, right? So here's how you can help. You know, if your dad isn't perfect, if your dad isn't that great, if you want to help your dad be better, this is how you can help. Show him honor. If you show him honor, it'll make him strong on the inside. I don't know about you as dads, but I'll say this. Like when somebody shows me respect, especially my wife or my kids, it really helps me want to do better. Anybody else? Like I want to be good. I do it because I love God and I want to do what's right in God's eyes. But it sure makes it a lot easier when my kids and my wife show respect and honor to me. It really does. So if you ever done the 5 love languages, I'm like a words of affirmation person. So when I get a gift, a lot of people get a gift, they throw the card aside and they open the gift. I'm like throw the gift aside and read the card because I need the words, right? So respect and honor is really strengthening to men. I don't think that really wives and children can understand the weight a man carries, the father carries in a house. I know it seems like a lot of times that the wife is like cleaning up after the kids and doing the dishes and the laundry and all this stuff, and it's really important. And I know some of those roles have started to change. But when we think about Scripture and what God's Word says about being a father and the responsibility of being the head of the house, to carry the sort of financial load of the house when, like, my kids were growing up, Christine was home with the kids and I was working, and, you know, it always felt like there was never enough to go around, and it was just like, so we were like, you know, you carry that load. I remember what it was like when Christine got her nursing license and started working as a nurse and how much that just took a load off me. But, like, so men carry a heavy load in the relationship. And sometimes just a word of honor, a word of respect for what they do. Like, I think that most men like to work too hard because they're trying to provide more for their families. A lot of guys get stuck in the whole thing of being workaholics because they're trying to provide for their family, and they get lost in the work. And then, you know, sometimes they get treated with disrespect at home because, like, they are not always present in the home. And I don't think that's healthy or good. But sometimes just stopping as a wife or as a child and say, thanks, Dad, for what you do. Thanks for working so hard to provide for everything we need. Thanks for just sharing your life and pouring out your life so that we could have. That would be so honoring. If you honor your dad, even if he doesn't deserve it, it motivates him to do better. I think it's important for us to get behind fathers in this house and give them the fuel they need to be all that God has called them to be. This is a day where I want you to just stop, everybody, and think about, like, just how much you could help the fathers in the house by just taking some time and showing honor to them. Just stopping and not just throw the Father's Day card on the table and say, there you go. But just taking time even this afternoon with your family just to stop and say thank you to the fathers for what they've done. Third thing is it reinforces that the God idea that fathers are important to society. When we honor fathers, it reinforces the God idea that fathers are important to society. In a world where everybody loves Raymond and the King of Queens is a bumbling fool and fathers are portrayed in our media and in movies as just idiots, right? I think that we need to change that for the church. The father is not just another kid for the mother to babysit, right, or to look after. And I know sometimes we say these things in jest, but fathers are so important to families and to culture. It's so important. To me, the idea that fathers are like Raymond or like, you know, Kevin James and King of Queens or like any of these guys who they're portrayed to be just like drooling Neanderthals that can't get, you know, things right to save their life. The only way they do it right is by accident, is an idea that we should fight and protest against as believers. It's just not right. It's actually an evil thought. We don't protest it by carrying signs. And, you know, we got a taste of that a couple weeks ago in church. You know, we don't get to protest by signs, but we protest by doing what's biblical and right, by showing honor. Statistics about the value of a father are all actually staggering, if you care to do the research. I did just a little bit of research, and these are American statistics, so they're probably skewed a little bit on the high side for Canadian culture, but even if you take off 25% of what these are saying, it's still pretty mind-blowing. Here's what it says. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. That's from the Center for Disease Control. There's a study behind each one of these, so it's not just me shooting off numbers here. 80% of rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes. That's for Justice and Behavior survey. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes, 9 times the average. So here's some good news. Children with fathers who are involved are 40% less likely to repeat a grade in school. Children with fathers who are involved are 70% less likely to drop out of school. Children with fathers involved who are involved are more likely to get A's in school. Children with fathers who are involved are more likely to enjoy school and engage in extracurricular activities. 75% of adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. 70% of youths in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes. 85% of all youths in prison come from fatherless homes. Adolescent girls raised in a two-parent home with involved fathers are significantly less likely to be sexually active than girls without involved fathers. 71% of pregnant teenagers lack a father. 90% of adolescent repeat arsonists live with only a mother. And fathers are not important in our culture. Fathers are so important. You are important, men. You are important as fathers. You make a difference. You make a huge difference. You as a father matter. You as a father make a difference. You as a father are a necessary part of human society. You as a father are not another child for your wife to look after. You are called by God to lead your families, and by leading your families, to lead this world into a better place and give the world a hope of a better day. You are called by God, men. You matter. You are important. You're a difference maker. When you honor your father, you're standing up for the God idea, the God-ordained institution of the father. And if you men out there are taking your role as father seriously, I honor you today. It's important. It's valuable. If you as a couple are taking your role as parents seriously today, I honor you. If you take your marriage as something that's important to our culture, I honor you today. You're important. What you do, just living everyday life well, changes our culture, allows our kids to grow up strong, prevents our kids from suicide and from teenage pregnancy and all kinds of like things that just are running rampant in our culture. If you take your family role seriously, there's a reason the Bible teaches us what the role of a mother, what the role of a father, what the role of a family is about. It's because it matters. It matters to God. And God only matters. God gives us these ideas and these roles because not because he's just trying to control us, but because he knows what's good for us. It's for your good and for his glory. It doesn't matter what culture says. What Scripture says is what matters. And Scripture says that as a father, you matter. As a father, you matter. You matter. It's important. When you honor your father, you're breathing life into him. Give him the strength to go on. Give him the strength to be who God's called him to be. No man is an island. Somebody said it. It wasn't the Bible. There we go. But like, you know, sometimes we think that the father is the strong one in the family. But I tell you, like, I've talked to a lot of guys and sat with a lot of fathers who are just floundering in their role. Don't know if they're getting it right. Don't know if they're doing it right. Don't know what to do. But like I tell you, you can strengthen them today if you show them honor. So there's four things kind of we need to know about ourselves. They're true about all of us. Number one, we all have two fathers. We all have two fathers. It says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, this is an important scripture. I never really looked at it this way before, but it's in the Sermon on the Mount. It says, but when you pray, enter your room and shutting the door, pray to your father in secret, and your father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. And we've always looked at the scripture as a scripture on prayer, but this is actually the first time that God is called Father. In the Old Testament, God always dwelled on mountains. He was in a cloud. He was far away. He was always kind of feared and respected, but at a distance. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, when you pray to your Father, it's the first time God was seen as Father. And if we read through the New Testament, we can see, you know, Jesus, as he's talking in the Gospels about his father, that his father was a caring and kind and compassionate and loving, slow to anger, rich in mercy. He was Father. And so, like, we have our earthly fathers, but we also have our heavenly fathers. It's really important for us to know that. We have a heavenly father. If you're here today, your dad was less than perfect. Maybe your dad's gone. Maybe whatever, right? But today you need to know that you have a perfect heavenly father who loves you, who's awesome, who just is loaded down with care and kindness, and as he's an intimate, loving father. He's your father and mine, and he's awesome. So the second thing you need to know is your father, your fathers, your heavenly father and your earthly father were designed to work as a team. It says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. He created them, making male and female. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. This scripture says that God created us in his image and in his likeness. And it says multiply. We were created as image bearers of God. And our role, when Adam was called an image bearer, right? He was created in God's image, was to bear the image of the Father to his sons. And then from his sons to their sons, and from their sons. But the thing is, Adam fell into sin and distorted the image of God. Sin distorted the image of God, and it got messed up. But Jesus came, he set us free, and we can be good image bearers now for God. Third idea is that our idea of who God the Father is derived from our earthly fathers. So if you have a father that is really a good provider, right, then it's not hard for you to see God as your provider. Like, we were never rich growing up. We weren't. We didn't have a lot. But, like, my dad provided for us. I never felt poor. I never felt like we didn't have anything. But like, my dad was a great provider. So when I think about what I need in life, I never think about provision as a big deal, because I know God is provider. Christine and I have been through some pretty tight times in our life, and I've never worried about it, because I'm used to the idea of a father being a good provider. So my father in heaven is a good provider. My dad was like a big, he just loved, you know, us. I remember when we were kids, when the show Chips, you ever heard of Chips, anybody? Eric Estrada, you know, was riding the bike. And every time that show came on in Dukes of Hazzard, we'd all be laying on this big, bright yellow velvet couch. It was like hideous. The dog ripped. I guess it was cool back in the day, but wouldn't be cool today. But we'd, like, my dad would sit there, and then my mom would be leaning against him, and all four of us kids would be like, kind of, I think so. Anyway, that's my memory. Am I right? All right, I got it right, because sometimes after church he says, you got that all wrong. but, like, so I my dad was just a cuddly guy. Sometimes he'd hold us too long, and it would make me mad, and I'd be like, leave me alone. But anyway, so affection was not a thing that we were short of growing up in our house. So, like, when I feel down or when I feel discouraged, I don't have any trouble going to God and say, God, I just need you. And I feel the affection and the love and the compassion of God. And that's awesome, because the attributes that your father carries well help us to see God in that way. But sometimes the attributes that he didn't show well are things that we struggle with in life. Like, if your father had a bad temper, it's hard for you to see God as patient and long-suffering, right? Like, right? So those are kind of the things that, as image bearers, we have to realize that we model, right, to our kids what they see about God, and it's important. They derive their idea of God from who we are. So, if our fathers weren't affectionate, then we struggle believing that God could be affectionate. So what we model to our kids helps or hurts their perception of God. And sort of the five things a father does, right, what should do well is, number one, they should protect their family. Protection is a big deal. Like, my parents were very strong and protective about us. Well, you know, it was different back then than it is today, because, like, we used to go track off into the bush all day, and, you know, we would miss lunch or whatever, come back. when we wanted to come back, Mom and Dad didn't worry about us because there was nothing really to worry about back then. You know, but like, you know, we had curfews. If we had, you know, things that we didn't want to do because we didn't really feel safe doing them, we could say, well, my mom and dad said no, right? Especially Dad, no, right? And sometimes he said no because he knew it would hurt us, even though we wanted to do it. So that was important. Does anybody here have a story about protection, about your dad protecting you? Anybody? All right, I get to keep the cards you don't use. No. Oh, go ahead, Julie. Oh. Anybody? Or your husband protecting your kids? All right. Who's the oldest father in the house? Harold. Here's a gift card for Harold. Look at that, Harold. You just hang around long enough, you get free gift cards. So anyway, as dads, it's really important for us to be protectors of our family. The next thing a father does is provides. It's really important, you know, for us to know as men that it's God's call on us to provide for our family. And God the Father provides for us. One of his names is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Does anybody have a story about provision or dad providing? Go ahead, Bob. I know you don't drink Tim Hortons coffee, but you probably could find something you like there. Right on. The next thing a father provides is affection for his family. I think it's really important, guys. You know, sometimes we're so stoic and strong, and we're like, don't want to show emotions. But like to be an affectionate father is really shows the character and nature of God. Does anybody have a story about that? Go ahead, Julie. Okay. It's awesome. Josh will be okay.
Victor and I have this trend if we all get in this, like, cuddle.
Yep.
Josh and I take them and Victor both, like,
right on. Awesome. That's cool. That's awesome, Josh. Here you go. I'm not going to give it to you because I want to make sure Josh gets it. Here you go, Josh. The next important thing is for us to, if you put it on the screen, I'll remember it easier, is to be a trainer, to be a good modeler of who God is to our children. I've talked about some of the things, you know. Like one of the things I always wanted to do with my kids is to show them unconditional love, right? So even when they screwed up, even when they made a mess, even when they fell down, even though I've told them 15 times, don't do that. Show them the unconditional love of God and the unconditional love of their father. Bob taught me this when I was first a father. He didn't tell me this, but he actually talked about this in church a couple times, about when his kids were little. And he used to, you know, say goodnight to his kids. And can you tell this better than me? About, you know, who loves you? Can you do that? Yeah, because I might mess it up. I have a tendency. Right. It's one of the things I wanted my kids to know, that same principle, that no matter what. Because, like, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but, like, you know, I've seen people who are serial arsonists, serial killers. I remember, last year there was a, or a couple years ago, there was a guy in Buffalo that was outside the store and he was shooting it up, and the mother was interviewing in front of the camera and says, my son's a good boy, right? Well, it was ridiculous to say he was a good boy when he had an AK-45 in his hand and shooting around at people, but in a, she had an unconditional love for her kid. And I mean, that's something that will carry your kids through, and that's something that will always draw your kids back. I'm going to tell you one thing. When the kids are little, they're easy to draw back. They're easy to have them come to you and repent and cry and hug you and cuddle you. But when they get in their preteens and teens, you know, you should have some relationship there, some love there, because you want them to keep coming back to you. You want them to keep hanging around and keep talking to you. It's important. So the idea of modeling, right, unconditional love, the idea of modeling how you treat your wife, right? Like, how you treat your spouse is going to affect how your kids treat their spouse, especially your sons, man. Like, you know, there's an old poem that said, I could be confused by the wise advice you give, but I can never be confused by the way you act and live, right? So, like, there's this idea that, well, it's not an idea, it's a principle, really. How you model it is really a lot of times how your kids are going to live it. Like, so there, my father gave me so many steps up by the way he lived. I didn't have to tear down all the junk in my life trying to rebuild the new thing, right? But, like, we can do this, guys. We can be strong. And I see it around this place. I see some kids that are really, you know, respectful. And they, I can see that they've learned the nature of God through their father. So the fifth, oh, who, yeah, Frank, you're going to do this. Yeah, modeling. Right.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's the relationship I had with my dad in my teens.
Yep.
So as life goes on, yes, I got married, and he was still kind of talking into my life, but I still had that kind of a wild seed that,
yep. Awesome. Right on. It's awesome. So there's good hope in that, right? Like, because sometimes you guys are struggling with your teenagers and even your kids in their early 20s, and they're not really going. It's not really going the way you thought it would go. Keep modeling it. It'll come around. It'll be okay. And the last thing. Well, there's probably other things, but these five I picked. Guidance, right? So mentoring. How, you know, like, it's good for fathers to sit down. Like, so, like, just practical examples, right? When I planted a tree, even when the kids were like that, I dragged them out with me, right? I took them outside. We dug up the dirt. We, you know, I'd have them, like, you know, digging up the best they could. And it was very time-consuming, very hard to do, you know. But, like, we were actually, Levi and I were out in the yard the other day. And we were looking at these maple trees that he planted when he was like this tall. And he goes, man, they're huge now, right? But we planted them together, just practically mentored him, taught him. But there's other things we mentor in. Like we mentor in, again, how do you treat your spouse? Like how do you respond when your boss isn't really, you know, easy to get along with? And just walk with practically teaching, practically showing your kids how to live life. How many have a story about that? Why? Go ahead. Right. Not supposed to tell how old women are. So here's your card, but you got to give it to a father. And you have three sons here, so you'll have to pick which one is the favorite. Or give it to someone else. Right on. Good. So here's the thing. Our earthly fathers, number four, our earthly fathers are imperfect, but our heavenly Father is perfect. It says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 to 11, or what man is there of you, if his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? This is a comparative statement. This isn't like you should hate your parents or you should hate your kids. This is saying in comparison to how much we, comparison, no, this is a different verse. So this is saying that men are evil compared to God. Fathers are evil compared to God because God is so good. We come off as being evil compared to God. So it's a comparative statement. But he's saying, if you as a father know how to give good gifts to your children, then your Father in heaven knows how so much more than you do, right? He loves you. As human fathers, we fail, right? Any other human father here ever feel like you haven't failed? How many of you feel like you fail quite often as fathers? I do. Like I want to do better. But we do fail. But here's the glorious thing about that. We have a Heavenly Father that never fails. As much as we want to do good for our kids and we don't always hit the mark, God, our Heavenly Father, always hits the mark. He's always a good father. He always does it right. So we need to rely on him. We need to trust in him, and we need to know that God's going to make up the difference. Some here struggle in many ways to trust God because of shortcomings of your father, but the truth is, you need to trust him. I've sat, you know, over the years, because I've been a pastor for a long time, and I've had people come up to me and say, I wish you wouldn't really talk about fathers on Father's Day because I had a bad father, and that brings up a lot of, you know, bad feelings, and I'm sorry. But you might have had a bad father, but you got a great father, too. You have a great father, too. And that father loves you, and he wants to connect with you. He wants to connect with you. He wants you to connect with him. He wants to show you how to live. He wants to model his love and his kindness and his goodness to you. Here's what it says in John chapter 16, verse 25 to 27. It says, I have spoken these things to you in parables, but the time is coming when I shall no more speak to you in parables, but I will show you plainly of the Father. And at that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will pray to the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I come out from God. Jesus is saying in this verse, yes, you know, God loves you. That we come to the Father in Jesus' name, but like God is listening to you. God is hearing you. God loves you. He wants to pour out that love on you. He wants you to trust him. And I know there's people here that say, well, I can't trust God because I couldn't trust my Father. What I want to challenge you to do this morning, what I want to just challenge you so much to do this morning, is just to trust God. Just to put your trust and your hope in him, to throw yourself at him as your heavenly Father until he proves that he isn't a perfect Father. So I guarantee you that will never happen. Trust God. For everything that your father failed in, for every like weakness or shortfall that your father had, like instead of giving up and saying, well, no father is perfect, our heavenly Father is perfect, and he wants to be a father to you. So in closing today, I just want to say there's a few ways we can honor our fathers, Father in heaven and our Father. And the first is to say, honor your father for what he did right and thank him for it. I already talked about this a little bit, but today in your homes, why don't you just take some time to honor your fathers and give thanks. I want to honor my dad, right? He's not here today, but I want to honor him because he was a good dad. He provided for us. Like I wrote this in my journal the night my dad died. He taught us to love God with all our hearts. And he taught us to love a woman for a lifetime. He taught me how to be a good husband. I remember how disgusting it was when he'd get up in front of the church and say, I just want to grab her by the ears. She's so beautiful. And tell her how much I love her. And I'd be like, Dad, you're black. Right? But like, honestly, it helped me so much to grab Christine by the ears. But he taught me how to love. My mom's a redhead. So, you know, I'm not going to make any other comments on that. But like, he was a great father. And he taught me to love God, first of all. I'll tell you, like, I've seen them go through some really hard times when we were growing up, and his faith never wavered. I never saw him give up on God, and I never saw him give up on my mom, right? And so I'm never giving up on God, and I'm never giving up on Christine, never. Honor your fathers today. Honor God for what he's done for you. Take time to say thanks. I remember, you know, when we were like, Christine and I had just got married. We'd been, you know, working for a year, and we bought a house in Welland. And I got hurt at work. And I went 4 months without a paycheck. And I remember in that time how God provided for me. He provided in ways that were just unbelievable. And I'm like, I'm so thankful to God, you know, because of who he is. He's done so many other things since then. But second thing is honor your father by giving him grace when you see his weakness and shortcomings. Your father might have given you some baggage, but I guarantee you someone gave him baggage too. I guarantee you, show grace, be kind to your dads. Honor your heavenly father, number three, by believing in him and putting your trust in him. Today, if you've never put your trust in God, if you've never given your heart to Christ this morning, I just want to just invite you that this is the best day. It's Father's Day. Just open up your heart to God and invite Jesus into your life. He loves you. The fourth thing is to honor your Heavenly Father by being the best father you could be and bearing God's image to your kids. Be the best father you could be and bear God's image well to your kids. If you're struggling as a dad, I just challenge you to get into God's Word. Find out what God's Word says about being a father. If you're struggling today with, you know, whatever, guilt or shame or whatever, because you haven't been the best dad you could be, you could be better, and God's given you His Holy Spirit. Last week was Pentecost Sunday when God poured out His Holy Spirit on the church, poured out His Holy Spirit to give us the strength to do things we couldn't do ourselves. And so if you're here, just rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to just grow in you and just to help you to do what you need to do. I just want to invite dads to stand up for a minute all across the room. I want to pray a blessing over you as we close. As we go out there, there's going to be some snacks and stuff for dads, so let the dads get at it first. And I think there's going to be a gift for you as you go out the door. But I just want to pray a blessing. If you ladies and children would put your hands toward fathers in the room, we're just going to pray a blessing over them. Lord, I just thank you for these men of God. I thank you, Lord, that you're with them. You said you'd never leave them, you'd never forsake them. Lord, I just pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to rest upon them. Lord, to give them wisdom, to give them courage, Lord, to do the right thing. Lord, to bless them in what they do. Lord, I pray that, Lord, today, Lord, that they will be honored, Lord, by their families, but by you too. And Lord, I just pray that this will be a great day, Lord, of strength for them and courage, Lord, to go on and do everything you've called them to do. I pray this in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, as we go out into the cafe, this will be a great time, Lord, just, Lord, enjoying each other's company and the fellowship of the saints. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.